This will be the fourth occasion for us to preach now from Revelation 12, chapter 12. We'll be dealing with the sign of the woman in the first two verses this morning. Hear now God's word, Revelation chapter 12. Then a great sign in the heaven was made visible, a woman sun-clothed, the moon underneath her feet, a crown of 12 stars on her head, having in her belly, crying out, travailing and pained, to bring forth. Then another sign in the heaven was made visible, and lo, a great fiery dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on its heads 7 diadems. And its tail draws the third of the stars of the heaven, and casts them into the earth. And the dragon stands before the woman who is about to bring forth, that when she brings forth, it might devour the child. And she did bring forth a son, a male, who intends to rule all the nations by means of a rod of iron, and her child was hastened away to God and to his throne. But the woman did flee into the wilderness, where she has a place, having been prepared there of God, that there they may feed her 1,260 days. And fighting was in the heaven, Michael with his messengers to fight the dragon, and the dragon and its messengers fought, but it did not prevail, a place no longer found for them in the heaven. And the great dragon, that old serpent, the whole world's deceiver, called Diabolus and Satanas, was cast into the earth, and its messengers cast with it. And I heard a great sound in the heavens, declaring, now the salvation and the might and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ did come to be. For the accuser of our brothers that accuses them before our God day and night was cast. For they did overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they loved not their life even unto death. Because of this, rejoice, heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe, the land and the sea! For the devil did go down to you having great wrath, knowing that it has little time. And when the dragon beheld that it had been cast into the earth, it did pursue the woman, whoso brought forth the male. And the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman, so that she could fly into the wilderness, into her place, away from the presence of the serpent, where she's fed there a time, times, and a half time. And the serpent did cast water from its mouth as flood after the woman, that it might bring about her carrying away. And the earth did run to the aid of the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast from its mouth. And the dragon was enraged regarding the woman, and did go forth to make war with the rest of her seed, that is, those keeping the commandments of God and holding the testimony of Jesus. In God's reading of God's word. Thank you. Please be seated. Much of our time last Lord's Day was spent reviewing the signs of Yahweh throughout the scripture by looking at 5 or 6 of the many passages in God's Word having to do with His signs. We gained some insight into this means of revelation. And we learned that Yahweh shows His perception by way of signs. He makes things known by way of signs, and they bear great covenantal and providential significance. They are manifestations of divine intent. They are means of confirmation, and they are vested with great power. And having seen, since the signs are revelation of Yahweh, having been seen, they require an obligation on the part of those who view them. That obligation, of course, is faithfulness. And let's say this one more time, that the two signs that are shown here, made visible here in the heaven, aren't for the purpose of concealment. They aren't for the purpose of mystery. They're not for the purpose of making it difficult for the enemies of the church out there in the nations, the Romans and the Judaists. These are signs of Yahweh. They're not code, nor are they symbols. And the two signs are to comfort the churches. They are to strengthen the churches. They are to build hope in them and trust in them and to further their faithfulness in very perilous times, and then to confirm that which had been previously prophesied. Now here's what John writes at the beginning of the Revelation. Chapter 1, verse 1. Revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants that which is necessary to be done in quickness, and he did make it known, having sent through his messenger to his servant John, who did bear witness the word of God and the witness of Jesus Christ, all he saw. He did make it known is the verbal form, aorist tense, third person singular, of the noun sign. He did make it known. He signed that which is necessary to be done in quickness. So the two signs here in Revelation 12 are so that the churches that are all scattered out there in the Gentile nations would know the mighty providence of Almighty God and the authority of His Son Jesus Christ, that they would know what was necessary to be done in quickness. There's no coded mystery here, and certainly no thought of comforting the churches for what might happen 2,000 years in the future. The signs are for their comfort and for their assurance and their strengthening in their current horrific circumstances, so that they would know their Lord and know what their Lord was doing and what he was bringing to pass quickly. And the signs made visible in the heaven are made known to the churches by the apostle in the inspired language of God. So, the apostles and the pastors and the evangelists and the elders of the churches would recognize God's word and teach the churches what the signs are for their edification during the most fearful time in all of the world's history. And since John's words are the word of God, and since they are in God's language from his perspective, and since God's language and words are similar all through the text of his written word and therefore recognizable to us, and since God did make it known to the churches, then those covenantal signs ought to be apparent to us as well, because we too are to be confirmed. We too are to be strengthened and sanctified in the providence of God and in the authority of his Son Jesus. But John alerts the churches, right at the beginning of chapter 12 here, that careful attention should be paid to this sign, for it is a great sign. Since Yahweh has spoken in signs all through his word, as we saw last Lord's Day, and since the revelation of Jesus Christ begins with this verbal form of the word sign, chapter 1, verse 1, then the churches must understand that Yahweh is making known that which is to happen quickly in signs, as he has done so often all through the written word. And the signs confirmed that which has been signed and prophesied previously, which is Yahweh's covenantal intent. But again, John attests to the fact that this particular sign is to receive careful attention, for he says that it is a great sign, and the central figure in this sign is the woman. So the first thing that we need to do, as always, is to read and to know as best we can some of those portions of Scripture in which the woman is the central figure. And there are quite a few. A number of them are of such that Yahweh likens his relationship to Israel to that of husband and wife. Please understand that Israel is never revealed to be the wife of God, but the covenant relationship that Yahweh established with his chosen people is often revealed as likened to that, you see. Just as God likens that relationship as one of father and son in a number of other places in the Scripture, or master to household in other portions of Scripture, or vintner to vineyard. These perceptions of the relationship having to do with the woman are often, but certainly not always, likened to husband and wife. Another kind of revelation in God's Word having to do with the woman is a conversational one. This is a little different than what we see when Yahweh speaks directly to the prophets and tells them exactly what they must say and exactly what they must do before Israel and surrounding nations. But we find instances in the revelation through the prophets in which there seem to be conversations between the woman and Yahweh. And this is where we're going to turn our attention first this morning. Listen closely to what Isaiah writes in chapter 26 of his prophecy. I'm going to read these slowly and carefully for you. Very important that you hear them. Let favor be shown to the wicked, yet he won't learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness he'll deal unjustly, and he won't behold the majesty of Yahweh. Yahweh, when your hand is lifted up, they'll not see, but they shall see and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of your enemy shall devour them. Yahweh, you will ordain peace for us. You have also wrought all our works in us. Yahweh, our God, other lords beside you have had dominion over us, but by you only will we make mention of your name. They are dead. They will not live. They're deceased. They'll not rise. Therefore have you visited and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. You have increased the nation, Yahweh. You have increased the nation. You're glorified. You had removed it far unto all the ends of the earth. Yahweh, in trouble have they visited you. They poured out a prayer when your chastening was upon them. Like as a woman with child that draws near the time of her bringing forth is in pain and cries out in her travail, so have we been in your sight, O Lord. We have been with child. We have been in pain, but we have only brought forth wind. We've not wrought any deliverance in the land. Neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Your dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, you that dwell in dust, for your dew is as the dew of herbs, and the land shall cast out her dead. Come, my people, enter into your chambers and shut your doors about you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little while, until the indignation be overpast, For behold, Yahweh comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the land for their iniquity. The land also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. This prophetic word recorded by Isaiah in chapter 26 might be described by some as cryptic or perplexing, but it's not. Not only was it made known, signed there in the older scripture, but now it is signed once again to the church here in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Our God has always had a people who he has kept for himself by grace through the gift of faith. And it was Abraham's grandson, Jacob, the father of 12 sons, through whom God kept his people, all from among a covenanted nation that cried out in great travail to bring forth God's chosen people. Hopefully you heard what I was reading there from Isaiah 26, that Israel, God's covenanted nation, is referred to in feminine gender pronouns. There is there, in God's view, a deep and profound conversation with some within idolatrous Israel concerning Israel's agonizing pain and travail. But finally, in the last days, the Anointed One is born, Emmanuel, as prophesied by this same prophet in chapter 7. And upon his having raised up this new humanity and having baptized that new humanity in its entirety, the legs of the woman are opened, and in great pain and travail she brings forth from the womb of this covenant people, and 144,000 newborns are sent streaming like rivers of living water into the nations of the earth. This is God's perspective, you see, for the church of Jesus Christ to know. He has signed it. He's made it known. Read some more. Listen from Isaiah again, chapter 49. Listen, O isles, unto me. Talking about all the islands of the world. Hearken, you people from afar. Yahweh has called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother has he made mention of my name. He hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand has he hid me and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver has he hid me and said to me, You are my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, here's a woman answering in conversation. Then I said, I've labored in vain. I've spent my strength for nothing and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with Yahweh and my work with my God. And now, says Yahweh, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of Yahweh, and my God shall be my strength. He said, It's a light thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you may be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus says Yahweh, Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to him who man despises, to him who the nation abhors, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes shall worship, because of Yahweh, who is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose you. Thus says Yahweh, in an acceptable time have I heard you, and in a day of salvation have I helped you, and I will preserve you and give you for a covenant to the peoples, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit all the desolate places. Like as the woman who cries out to Yahweh in pain and travail to bring forth his offspring, Yahweh promises to save Jacob, the 12 tribes, and make him to inherit all the wilderness places of the earth. In the birth of Emmanuel to the Virgin is the sign, you see, to Israel. It is a woman with child, Israel, that her pain and travail is nearing its end, for she shall bring forth the promise to Jacob in the day of salvation, and the offspring will be a blessing to all the nations, as promised to Jacob's grandfather, Abraham. Now, all the way at the end of Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 66, here's the very word of God regarding the birth of the new humanity in the body of the Christ and its nurture in the new heavens and the new earth and its new moon, all in the sign shown to John here in chapter 12. Again, Isaiah 66. Thus says Yahweh, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you built unto me? Where is the place of my rest for all those things my hands made? And all those things have been, says Yahweh. But to this man I will look, even to him that is poor and in contrite spirit, the one who trembles at my word. He that kills an ox as if he slew a man, he that sacrifices a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck, he that offers an oblation as if he offered swine's blood, he that burns incense as if blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways. Their soul delights in those abominations. I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears on them, because when I called, they didn't answer. When I spoke, they didn't hear. But they did evil before my eyes and chose that which I delighted not. Hear the word of Yahweh, you who tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let Yahweh be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice from Yahweh, who renders recompense to his enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who's heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born all at once? However, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. He continues to speak, shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth? Shall I cause to bring forth and then shut the womb? Saith the Lord our God. Rejoice, you, with Jerusalem. Be glad with her, all you that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all you that mourn for her, that you may suck. And be satisfied with the breasts of her consolations, that you may milk out and be delighted with her abundance, the abundance of her glory. For thus says Yahweh, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall you suck, and you shall be borne upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knees, as one who his mother comforts. So I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. When you see this, your heart will rejoice. Your bones shall flourish like an herb. The hand of Yahweh shall be known toward his servants, but his indignation toward his enemies. For behold, Yahweh will come with fire and with chariots like a whirlwind to render anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will Yahweh deal with all flesh, and the slain of Yahweh shall be many. Those that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens, behind a tree in the midst of the gardens, eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mice, shall be consumed together, says Yahweh. For I know their works and their thoughts. It'll come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. And I'll set a sign among them, and I'll send those that escape of them into the nations and into the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, that have not seen my glory. They shall declare my glory among all the nations. They shall bring all your brethren for an offspring, an offering unto Yahweh out of all nations, upon horses and chariots and litters and mules and upon swift beasts. So to my holy mountain of Jerusalem, said Yahweh, just as the children of Israel bring an offering and a clean vessel from the house of Yahweh, so I will also take of them, Gentiles, for priests and Levites. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, said Yahweh, so shall your seed and name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come and worship before me, says Yahweh. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed before me. Right there at the end of Isaiah's prophetic word is the birth and the nurturing of the new Zion, you see. It is the new Israel and the new Jerusalem and the new temple in which are clean offerings and in which are new lights, a new moon. Yahweh's people from all the nations and all the islands of the earth shall stream into that new city of God. For Israel will travail in childbirth and bring forth a newborn, one which will suckle at the breast of its mother rather than doing all those abominable things in God's garden. And the newborn will be a light to the nations, you see. I don't want to read too much to you for fear of tripping the switch this morning, but for one reason or another, we just don't read enough scripture, do we? Therefore, God's language sometimes doesn't register very well, but we have the opportunity here from the pulpit to read and hear in what we know is covenantal continuity. And we get to hear God's language, get to hear it in context and continuity. Of course, that's when the signs of God become clear, don't they? But there's so much more. I'm not even going to take the time to read from the prophet Hosea, who was indeed a sign of Yahweh, because the prophet, you see, was required to marry a woman who was a harlot in order to signify, that's the word to sign, in order to sign the reprehensible whoredom of Israel against Yahweh. But even at the risk of giving you too much, I got to read one of the great passages in all of the Scripture having to do with the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, kept by God for Himself, bought at an enormous price, and brought forth of great pain and travail. This is from the prophecy of Micah. Please tune in now. Don't miss it. But in the last days, Micah says, it shall come to pass that the mountains of the house of Yahweh shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above those mountains, and peoples shall flow into it. And many nations shall come and say, come, let's go up to the mountain of Yahweh and to the house of the God of Jacob. He'll teach us of His ways. We'll walk in His paths. For the law will go forth from Zion, the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem into the nations. And He shall judge among many peoples and rebuke strong nations far off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree. None shall make them afraid, for the mouth of Yahweh of hosts has spoken it. For all people will walk, every one in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of Yahweh our God forever and ever. In that day, says Yahweh, I will assemble her that halts. The word halt in the Hebrew means lame. I will assemble her that halts, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted, all feminine pronouns. I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast off a strong nation. And Yahweh will reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth even into the age. And you, O tower of the flock, the strong hold of the daughter of Zion, unto you shall it come, even the first dominion, the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem, female offspring, a newborn. Now, why do you cry out loud? He said. Is there no king in you? Is your counselor dead? For pangs have taken you as a woman in travail. Be pained, be bringing forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shall you go forth out of the city, away from the city, and you shall dwell in the fields, and you shall go even unto Babylon. Even there you shall be delivered. Even there Yahweh shall redeem you from the hand of your enemies. Now though many nations are gathered against you that say, let her be defiled, let our eye look upon Zion. But they don't know the thoughts of Yahweh. They don't understand his counsel, for he shall gather them as the sheaves into the floor. And arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make your horn iron, I will make your hooves bronze, you shall beat in pieces many peoples, and I'll consecrate their gain unto Yahweh. I will consecrate their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. But you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, remember the text? Though you be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up. He'll abandon them, is what the word means, until the time that she who travails has brought forth. Then the remnant of his brothers shall return unto the children of Israel. And he shall stand, he shall shepherd in the strength of Yahweh, in the majesty of the name of Yahweh his God, and they shall abide, live, for now. Said he, shall he be great unto the ends of the earth? And the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many peoples as a dew from Yahweh, as the showers upon the grass that tarries not for man nor waits for the sons of men. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many peoples, as a lion among the beasts of the forest. The clarity that comes forth from reading in continuity and in God's language is truly amazing. The early revelation by Yahweh to that wicked king, Ahaz, you remember, through Isaiah, as recorded in chapter 7, said that a sign would be revealed to Israel, the virgin would conceive and bear a son, and he would be called Emmanuel. And it was Mary to whom it was revealed that she would conceive and bear a son, and she was to call him Jesus, which in that context means the same thing as Emmanuel does in Isaiah's and Ahaz's context. And he, Emmanuel, Jesus, would abandon Israel until such time as the woman, the daughter of Zion, brought forth in travail. The one brought forth from Mary would lead them and shepherd them in the might and glory of Yahweh. And the newborn would be the remnant kept by Yahweh for his own. And the remnant of Jacob would be as the dew of Yahweh among the nations of Gentiles. Behold, Yahweh has proclaimed to the end of the age, Isaiah 62, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him, his work before him. You see, it's the new Israel ruled under the authority of the one born of Mary who rode into Jerusalem on the foal of an ass, proclaiming directly from Isaiah 62, lo, daughter of Zion, lo, your king comes to you. The one who bought and paid for her, who is birthed in pangs and travail. Sign that we see here in Revelation 12 is the sign of the daughter of Zion, prophesied in the four passages we just read and others. The sign is made visible to John. It's shown to him in the heaven. The woman has 12 stars in the crown on her head. The lights, you see, of the old Israel having fallen out of the cosmos. The 12 tribes of Jacob, the 12 stars in her crown are the lights of the new Israel. The woman is sun-clothed. the sun over Israel having been darkened, there is a new sun clothed daughter brought forth for the glory of Yahweh. The woman has a new moon under her feet, for Israel's moon had turned to blood. All of the lights in the heaven are turned on for the daughter who has travailed and has now brought forth. When in great pain and travail she had brought forth, the newborn then was scattered among all the peoples of the earth, and she was a light to the Gentiles, and the dew of Yahweh was an effusion into all the nations of the world. This is a glorious, powerful sign to the church for its comfort in the last days, because it confirmed all that Yahweh had signed and prophesied previously. And the ruler of this new Jerusalem, the one who had paid for her with his own blood, who had baptized her on the eighth day, Pentecost, and the one now with all authority in the heaven and on the earth, had made it known to the daughter of Zion that which was necessary to be done in quickness. Next Lord's Day, we have the second sign in the heaven. May God bless the reading and preaching of His Word. Amen.